Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from James. He's got a lot to say. So before I get to it, let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the Red Pill Ring. The Freemasons have their own rings, and now so do we. When another MGTOW sees your gold, silver, or bronze ring, he's gonna know exactly what it means, and that both of you have the same value system. Now all we have to do is make a secret handshake. Please visit redpillring.com today to get your precious, precious ring. Do it fast before Gollum with boobs stops you. Anyways, here's what James has to say, and I quote, "Hi Sandman, I sent this message regarding social media's indirect influence. I think that it also applies to women's effect on culture. Since they do so much talking, they both influence the culture and are influenced by the culture they create. It may also shed some light on how ultra-rich elites manipulate politics without ever making a campaign donation. The power of any language cannot be understated, and to show the immense power, a prehistoric situation will best show language's strength. I take you back to the Stone Age. A caveman is hunting and is a little hungry. He sees a berry bush with bright red quarter-sized fruit on it. Before the caveman can grab some, he hears rustling in the bushes, a short distance away. Sensing the potential for an even greater feast in the form of a deer or other animal, he hides nearby, with his spear ready. The animal emerges, showing itself as a deer. The deer walks over to the berry bush and eats about 15 berries. About 10 seconds after eating those berries, the deer jumps on its hind legs and flops over dead. The logical thinking from our caveman is to assume that the berries are very poisonous and should not be touched or eaten. As the caveman is inspecting the dead deer, a short distance from the bush, his friend comes over and is going to take some berries from the bush and eat them. The first caveman says the prehistoric equivalent of, 'Don't eat those berries, you will die,' and shows his friend the recently deceased deer that they can instead cook and eat. While this story seems to show language as an average power, I would ask for a do-over on the story. But in this version, neither the caveman nor his friend can communicate in any way, verbal or not. Most likely the only person to have ever known the berries were poisonous would be the first caveman, and he doesn't or can't tell his friend. They would have to wait until another deer comes along and ate the berries off the bush to find out. The massive power of language shows itself in the fast and efficient communication of important information. Much the same if someone discovered that berries are poisonous, some would eventually find out that we could farm food by planting seeds from fruit trees or bushes in the ground. Thus, we have agriculture. This powerful new information would make its rounds and people would start joining in on the farming craze. The cultural pillars of farming include living off the land, staying in one place, living in one place, and now you know why we call it agriculture. Thanks to a stable food supply, population growth exploded, and the game of politics went from verbal, covert, to physical overts. Now that the origins of language, culture, and politics have all been shown, it is time to understand how the rest respond to social media. Social media and the internet are a clever and far-reaching form of language. When online, individuals are often browsing with no clear purpose and thus are more open to manipulation, both good and bad. I do not think the internet and social media should be banned, however. It's simply an upgrade to human language, which means that it has massive influence over culture and politics. Social media should remain an indifferent town square where people can go without getting overtly or covertly silenced. If social media and its influence on language is going to be allowed, then shadow banning, algorithmic disfavorability, and deliberate manipulation of who gets bigger voices should not be present. It's a private company, should not apply to the town square which is now online. If these steps are taken, the far-reaching power of language and social media should stay neutral and fair. An alternative option is to have said algorithms be open source, allowing anyone to see the code behind it and audit the algorithm for any malicious code. Well, James, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. All the things you suggest with regards to making social media an open public thing are being done by Elon Musk right now, with regards to Twitter. He's also made it a somewhat open source and uncensored public square. I know many of you might not agree, but at least that's the way that I see it. Part of that is because he fired all the SJWs or let themselves walk out the door. It's the other platforms that are infested with social justice warriors over the last 15 years because they were making money hand over fist. So they were hiring equality officers and other woke workers. That's gonna end if Musk monetizes Twitter with ads for video. The reason the censorship was there was because there wasn't any real competitor to the big social networks. And women's instinct is to police male language in case men start speaking the truth about female nature. But those censorship efforts have failed, and what better sign than women just like just pearly things, red-pilling massive amounts of young guys these days? We've won and 63% of guys under 30 are single, and that number is only going to grow. Women have always allowed men to speak about things like which berries are poisonous and to warn others about the beasts that lay outside the cave opening in prehistoric times. But we men shaped a different language, so to speak, one based on the material world for the most part, because we've had an interest in things, mostly for basic survival instead of people. Our language skills evolved differently because of our separation with women laboring at home and men laboring in the fields or forests. But today neither of us have to do that, so the so-called codependency between the sexes has come to an end. All social media was free until about 10 or 20 years ago, when women started using it, and then the censorship started. I was emailing a YouTuber named Wonderhussy a while back about Rumble, and I suggested that she try it. And she looked at it and mentioned that everyone on there was looking like they were angry and yelling at each other in the thumbnails. That's the thing, places like YouTube have to sanitize the content to attract female audiences. They make most of the spending decisions for the typical household, and thus they are responsible for the advertising dollars that are spent there. Wonderhussy is pretty much open to new ideas and uses colorful language that's not always 100% politically correct, with wonderful old Western sayings, and she was still turned off by alt tech to some extent. So what do you think is going to happen to the average woman? It'll probably offend enough of them to take jobs in such places just so they can go in there and censor content they don't like. That worked well while there was only one YouTube, but now there's at least half a dozen video sharing platforms that are here to stay. They can't control everything anymore. And that's why for a while you saw places like Twitter ban BitChute links, which they still do for some reason, but they don't ban Rumble. Women have always had the power to influence the culture because of male validation. Men generally behave in ways women want to get their approval. But what happens when technology eventually makes female validation irrelevant? Then female influence will no longer be important. Your point about language, James, is interesting. All language is an extension of the mind and cognition. It's a form of technology. Marshall McLuhan, the big Canadian thinker before Jordan Peterson, spoke about how all technology is an extension of the body. The spear is an extension of the hand. Same with every projectile weapon that we've created. The wheel is an extension of the feet. Same as the domestication of the horse. Social media is nothing more than an extension of voice and language, allowing it to travel great distances. Remember that when Julius Caesar was deleted in the Roman Forum, Mark Antony delivered a speech afterwards, and only the people in the forum, 10,000 or so, could actually hear him. Obviously, there were no microphones, so all technology is about amplifying human ability. Marshall McLuhan also said that the medium is the message, that each medium changes the way that information is being conveyed. Having a face-to-face conversation is totally different than posting something on social media. People like myself have learned to amass a sizable following online that we never would have achieved in real life. The opposite is often true for many people that are popular in real life, but have become attention bankrupt online because it's a totally different means of communication. It's no wonder that women have controlled language and the conveyance of information for most of our species. Their emotional angst and constant need for an emotional tampon may have just as likely been responsible for the rise in language. They couldn't express their frustrations with men physically because we'd put them in their place physically. But doing a verbal assault on our senses with language would be an assault on us that we couldn't repel, and a field of battle where we could hardly win. So you can understand why when social media and YouTube started spreading information about female nature in the 2010s, why they freaked out. Because they lost their cooch control of the information that shaped men's minds. It was an existential crisis that freaked them out. I don't think it's men that were responsible for the development of language, but it's more likely that women were as a mechanism to gain better control over us and deal with their emotions. There's a very real possibility now that AI is going to become so good at manipulating both men and women with language that whoever controls it will be able to control huge chunks of the human population. Technology that knows you better than you know yourself will probably be able to get you to do things that go against your best interests without you even realizing it. In a world like that, the individuals that have the least amount of trust in other human beings, and most likely technology as well, will probably win. Because if you already refuse to trust most humans and their intentions, you're a lot less likely to trust AI as well. Even the godfather of AI is super worried about that. It'll become the real language police because it'll be the biggest influence in the world, influencing society on the level of the individual, as well as the collective. But it won't be conscious at first, it'll just be hyper-intelligent, and right now it's the wokesters and women that are controlling the development of AI, and if you watch the OpenAI video from the creators of ChatGPT, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to James for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button, the way that AI is about to smash relationships between men and women more than feminism ever could. bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women trying to censor men by using artificial intelligence away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.